If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. It's wonderful to see you this morning. I'm glad you're here. If you're visiting with us, I pray that you sense and know the presence of God, because God is real and he wants relationship with you. But I'm glad you're here, and I pray that you've already received something from the Lord. So Hebrews chapter 11, rather than me just read it to you, here's the way we're going to do it today. Every time two words show up in the text, I want you to say it out loud with me. So you'll have to have your Bibles open to be able to do that with me. So you can look electronically or on paper, but it's Hebrews chapter 11. And I'll sort of lead you through the verses. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That's the definition of faith right there. Someone said faith is the title deed for what we know we have. It's being sure of what we may not even see. So faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for, their faith. So here's the two words that I want you to say out loud every time we get to it. It's by faith, okay? So it's in verse 3. Everybody ready? By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what was seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. Okay, so there are some by faiths in the middle of the verse, okay? You're getting the first couple, but you're losing it in the middle. So let's try to follow along, class. Follow the bouncing ball, okay? Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life and he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleases God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about the things not seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes. Very good. By faith, Abraham, when called to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. Jump down to verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, it's through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she had welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing and the preaching of his word. So, what does that portion of scripture, I'm interested to see how that portion of scripture comes out on the radio with all of you yelling by faith in the background. But what does that portion of scripture tell you about faith? Here's what it tells me if I were to give you a, sort of a Reader's Digest version of what we just read. Okay, if you don't know all of the Old Testament stories, what he was doing there was just going through a chronology of all these great people of faith in the Old Testament who accomplished great things for God. But what he mentions is every time is that they accomplished these things by faith. So, what does it tell me about faith? It tells me in that portion of scripture that we need faith to do great things for God. We need faith to keep us committed to the task that God has called us to. We need faith to be able to see what the natural eye cannot see, because faith accomplishes great things. Now, that was all Old Testament stuff we were talking about as we read that faith chapter in Hebrews. But if we read all through the Gospels, we see the same thing. When the woman with the issue of blood came to Jesus and reached out and touched Jesus, what did Jesus say to her? He said, "Your faith has healed you." To Jairus, the synagogue ruler, he said, "Don't be afraid, just have faith." To the blind man on the side of the road, what did he say? "Your faith has healed you." When Jesus was in his own hometown, he could only do a few miracles there. I love the way the Bible says he could do no miracles there except heal a few people. Why? Because of their lack of faith. So, if I stop this message right here, I sound like the televangelist that you watch on TV at 11 o'clock at night, okay? I don't want to stop here, because it's that same faith that we need to accomplish great things for God, to stay committed to the task that he's called us to, is the same faith we need to endure difficulty. Let me read the text to you. If we were to read together, we won't. I'll read it to you. Notice how that chapter goes on. So every person he's talked about is doing something by faith. And what more shall we say? I don't have time to talk to you about Gideon or Barak or Samson or Jephthah or David or Samuel and the prophets. So he mentions all these great people, and then he said, okay, I don't have time to talk about all these other guys. Here's a few more names for you. Who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign enemies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Okay, so what is he saying? By faith, all these great things were accomplished by these people who were walking in faith, accomplishing great things, staying committed to the task. And I don't have time to tell you about, but look at Gideon, Barak, and Jephthah, and all these guys. I mean, look at the great things they did, obviously by faith. But notice what comes next. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they may gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins. They were destitute, persecuted, mistreated, and the world wasn't worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. And notice this line. And these were all commended for their faith. Isn't that an interesting contrast? The same faith that we need to accomplish great things for God is the same faith that we need when difficulty comes. So today I want to talk about this topic, faith. How do we keep our faith strong and grow in it? Because all these people accomplished things by faith, and they were able to go through difficulty by faith. All through the Gospels, people receive things from the Lord by faith. So how do we grow in faith? How do we keep our faith strong? Hebrews chapter 12 gives us some clues. So Hebrews chapter 11 is this great faith chapter. We need faith. And then in chapter 12, he gives us a picture of how to grow in our faith, how to hang on to and keep strong faith. This year, 2020, you heard me say this a couple weeks ago, somebody, 2020 has been called the year of vision, 2020, the year of vision. So here is our vision for growing in faith. First thing he says there in chapter 12, verse 1, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. So he just talked about all these people who did great things for God. You might have recognized a few names in there. Joseph, Abraham, Jacob. I mean, all these great heroes of faith. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So the first word in chapter 12, verse 1, is the word therefore. And the word therefore links what he said in chapter 11 to chapter 12. These guys did all this stuff by faith. Therefore, in other words, here we go, you heard it. Now do this. Therefore, and then he goes on. We have a great cloud of witnesses. So here's number one in your 2020 vision to how to grow in faith, maintain a strong faith, and even grow in it. Number one, you might want to write these down, because when you get weak in your faith throughout the year, these are good markers to look at. Listen, when my faith is weak, when I'm not feeling any spiritual vitality, here's some things that we need to look at. Number one, look at other people of faith. He said, we have a great cloud of witnesses. So this great cloud of witnesses are people of great faith. Look at the list in chapter 11, Abel, Noah. I mean, that's great faith. To build a boat that takes you a really long time to build on dry land because a flood is coming, but it's never rained. How many of you know that's pretty great faith? Abraham, who left his hometown to follow God not knowing where he was going. That takes faith. Joseph, who so much believed. I love that story. I love that line from Joseph. Joseph, at the end of his life, he knew by faith that the children of Israel were going to leave Egypt. So he told him, he said, listen, when you leave, he didn't say if you leave. He said, when you leave, make sure you take my bones with you. He knew that he was going to die before that time came. But by faith, he knew it was coming. These are great heroes of faith. Moses, who left a cushy life and chose to be with God's people, who celebrated the Passover. You know, they did it by faith, right? Because they celebrated Passover with their traveling clothes on. In other words, we know we're going when you don't think that's cool? I think that's really cool. Who by faith passed through the Red Sea. So all these great people of faith. So how do you learn about this great cloud of witnesses then? So the first thing we need to do is, if our faith is weak, look at great people of faith. How do we learn about great people of faith? It's found in the Word of God. And what happens? The Bible says that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So when we're reading about great people of faith, you know what it does for us? It builds our faith. A.W. Tozer said this. He was a great American preacher. Lived 100 and something years ago. The sacred page is not meant to be the end, but only the means towards the end, which is knowing God himself. When we read about God and what he did through ordinary people, just like you and me, it builds our faith, because if he could use them, he can use us. So we have to look at great people of faith in the past. And then we can look at great people of faith, maybe relatively modern historical examples. It's not just the cloud of witnesses in Scripture that we need to look at. We need to look at people of faith, more modern day people of faith. I mean, we could look at somebody like a Billy Graham, who has passed, but a more modern day person of great faith. So here's your 2020 vision, if you want to grow in faith. Look at the people of old that we see in Scripture. Look at the generations that have come before us and their great faith. I don't know if you've ever heard of Richard Wurmbrand. Richard Wurmbrand lived in the early 1900s, just up until 2001. He was a Christian minister in Romania, and he suffered brutal abuse at the hands of the communists. He spent 14 years in prison, three of those in solitary confinement. Okay, so when we read chapter 11 in Hebrews, and we see all these people did all these great things by faith, and then we read others were tortured and put to death and jailed and imprisoned and all that, but they needed that same faith. Here's a more modern day example. Spent 3 years in solitary confinement simply because of his faith in Christ. He was tortured physically and mentally, often enduring extreme hunger and cold, yet he never wavered in his faith. He had once been a militant atheist. I love when God saves atheists, because they're so radical for Christ, because now they really know the truth. So he was a radical atheist, but the supernatural transformation he had through Jesus Christ wouldn't allow him to stop telling others about Jesus. So when writing about his experiences and that of the persecuted church, he said this. He wrote the following about his imprisonment. He said, "It was strictly forbidden to preach to the other prisoners." This is kind of an Apostle Paul story to me. Do you know what I mean? Can you imagine being a Roman guard chained to the Apostle Paul? So, Richard Wurmbrand. "It was strictly forbidden to preach to the other prisoners. And it was understood whoever was caught doing this received a severe beating. So a number of us decided to pay the price for the privilege of preaching. So we accepted their terms. It was a deal. We preached, and they beat us. We were happy preaching, and they were happy beating. So everyone was happy." He also said, "A man believes not what he recites in his creed, but only the things he's ready to die for." Ooh. A man really believes not what he recites in his creed, but only the things that he is ready to die for. So listen, if we want to grow in our faith this year, want to stay strong and even grow in our faith this year, what do we have to do? Look, here's our 2020 vision. Look at the great cloud of witnesses. If they could do it by God's grace, you and I can do it by God's grace. That gives me faith. I hope it does to you. So we look at these biblical characters. We look at modern day characters. But you know, even right in this room are people that you know are people of great faith. I think of my friend Jim Allen, who's probably up in the cheap seats. Are you up there anywhere? Is he up there? Did he leave? Jim Allen? Oh, there he is, right in the middle. You moved on me. Somebody took your seat over there in the corner. The cheap seats are kind of full today, so some of you guys took his seat, apparently. It's reserved seating, apparently, at New Hope. But we look at modern-day examples of people of faith. I've watched him for 3 years battling cancer, going through treatments, just going through the absolute crud of all of that. But yet he has great faith. His faith has never wavered. It has stayed strong. So for me, wanting to keep my faith strong and even grow in my faith, I read scripture because it gives me faith, reading what Old Testament and New Testament people did. I see the generation that came before me. It gives me faith. I see people right here in this room that give me faith. So if you want to grow in faith, here's number one. Look at some people of faith. Look at them. Second thing is this. Here's the second point in your 2020 vision to grow in faith. Look at yourself. So look at others. Look at yourself. Here's what it says. Since we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. You know, it's a good thing to do a little self-examination every now and then. You know why? Because unless we really take a look at ourselves, we can deceive ourselves for a little while. Unless somebody else is helping us out and, you know, playing the role of the Holy Spirit and telling us what we're doing wrong. You know, sometimes we can just deceive ourselves for a while. Some of you got what I just said. When Paul said this to the church at Corinth, here's a verse for you. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Ooh. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. I don't really like this verse. I don't know about you. This is not a verse I'm putting on my refrigerator. You know, I'm putting, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's my refrigerator verse. This isn't my refrigerator verse. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Some of you want to give this verse to your spouse. I know you do. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. That's the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth. He's writing to the church. Examine yourselves. So if we're going to grow in faith, keep our faith strong and grow, we're going to look at other people of faith. But then we got to look at ourselves. What are we looking for? He says, get rid of anything that hinders. How many of you know even good things can hinder our walk with the Lord? Even good things. How many of you know riches is a good thing? You don't think riches is good? Give me all your money, because I think riches is good. Nothing wrong with money, right? It's good. Listen, I've been really poor, and I'm kind of poor. It's way better to be kind of poor than really poor. Okay? So there's nothing wrong with good things. What's wrong with good things? It's when those good things get in the way of our relationship with the Lord. Listen, I would not mind having a, you know, 32-foot boat at the docks in Scituate Harbor. That would be enjoyable to me. But if it keeps me from church every Sunday, how many of you know that's a weight on me that is easily entangling me? So if we want to grow in our faith, here's what he's saying. The writer of Hebrews is saying to us, listen, all these people did great things by faith. So look at them. Let's look at ourselves. Get rid of any weight. But then he goes on and he says this. He says, and get rid of the sin that easily entangles us. How many of you know all of the sin that easily entangles us is different for all of us? Yeah, the thing that trips you up might not trip me up at all. You know what I mean? But the thing that trips me up might not trip you up at all. Yours might be, you know, an addiction issue, so probably hanging around the bar room would not be a good idea for you. It probably wouldn't bother me. Some of you, being around the wrong people might set you off, but it wouldn't bother anybody else. So he says, okay, get rid of the weight. What is the weight? The excess weight that we're carrying. Don't look at me like that. I saw that look. Get rid of the weight that keeps us from growing in our faith. And look out for the sin that easily entangles us. Whatever that easily, I love the old English version. The what does it say? The easily besetting sins or something like that. It's the things that trip you up. You know what your hot buttons are. If you don't know, ask your spouse or somebody very close to you. They'll know for sure. You want to grow in your faith? Want to be strong in your faith? Look at others. Then look at yourselves. And then he says this. He said, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, that's the excess weight, and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So, third point in our 2020 vision for growing in our faith is this, is to look ahead. Okay, since you looked at me like that when I mentioned weight, I will say this. I used to run a few miles every morning. Notice, used to. Past life. Here's what I never did when I would run 3 miles. I would never run looking backwards. I can't even walk forward and look backwards, never mind run and look backwards. Listen, when you are running a race, when we're running a race, when we're really going after something, how many of you know we're not looking backwards? You can't run full throttle and look backwards. So point number three in your outline for growing in faith, your 2020 vision for growing in faith is to look ahead. I love what the Apostle Paul said. He said, brothers, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. So you know what that tells me? If the Apostle Paul isn't there yet, you and I probably aren't there yet either. So this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So look ahead. Don't look, forget what lies behind. Whatever happened in your life through last year is the past. Forget the past. This is a new year. It's a new time, so let's look ahead for all of the good things that God is going to do this year. Somebody say amen. You know, I'm telling you, this is the weirdest year for me. It's so weird. Can I just pause and tell you this? I'm going to anyway, so just say yes. Okay, so 2 weeks ago, I read you this card. How many of you were here 2 weeks ago? Yeah, about half. That's about right. Every other week, right? I get it. Okay. 2 weeks ago, I read this card. Look ahead. Look ahead. That's point number three in our outline. Look ahead. So look at people of great faith. Look at yourself. Look ahead. I got this New Year's card, which I read. If you were here, this is old news for you. How many of you remember what I preached 2 weeks ago? Nobody. Right, exactly. That's the point. So I'm going to read it again. I got a New Year's card. I have never in my life gotten a New Year's card. 60 years old, I have never gotten a New Year's card. Have you ever gotten a New Year's card? Has anybody gotten a New Year's card? It's never happened. You've gotten a New Year's card. So, at this time of new beginnings, it's a joy to think of you and wish you the blessings of health, peace, and happiness throughout the coming year. Please celebrate a year of blessings. There was a little gift in the card, too. Please celebrate a year of blessings and welcome many more in the coming year. I told you 2 weeks ago, for those of you that were here, that card actually built my faith for the coming year. And I actually grabbed a hold of it by faith. We're talking about faith. I grabbed a hold of that promise because I really felt like it was from God. I felt like the person who wrote it was so sincere that they were actually praying about what to say in sending me this card. So I just said, Lord, I've received that for 2020. I've received that for this coming year. And then same time. I told you this 2 weeks ago. I'm going to tell you something new in just 1 second. Somebody mailed us a check for $100,000 for our building fund. I mean, that's amazing. It's the It's the largest single gift that we've gotten since we've started this church 14 years ago. The largest one. So I'm ready for a bunch of you to follow. Bunch. You can add another zero, it'd be fine too. So then this week, okay, this stuff never happens to me ever in my life. 60 years. Somebody heard, I don't even know this person. Somebody heard about what we were doing here and a particular need that I had. They just heard about it. They live on the West Coast. They don't even know me. And sent a very large gift. Yeah. 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 This probably happens to you all the time. It never happens to me. I'm usually giving things to people. That's my thing, you know what I mean? I'm trying to give things to people. But I'm telling you, when I got that card, I grabbed a hold of that by faith, and I said, this is going to be a year of blessing for me and my church and my family. A year of blessing. Want to grow in faith this year? Want to keep your faith strong and grow in it? Look at people of great faith. Look at yourself, because we have to examine ourselves. Let's look to the future, not the past. Let me give you one or two more, seeing how much time. Oh, well, good, good. Number four. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Here's what it says in the text. Verse 2, chapter 12. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So here's your 2020 vision. Look to Jesus. Jesus is the example. You know what Christian means? Christ-like. Jesus is the example. Everybody knows, everybody in this room probably knows, that Pete Frates died December 9th at the age of 34. The former baseball player at Boston College contracted the disease in his 20s and battled it for 7 years. In 2014, pro golfer Chris Kennedy introduced the Ice Bucket Challenge because of a relative he had with ALS. But it was Pete Frates and his family who then caused the phenomenon to go viral, which resulted in over $200 million being raised for ALS research. But at Pete Frates' funeral, the officiating minister said this. He said, this is a great quote, the best way to honor him is to imitate him. The best way to honor him is to imitate him. I would say that for all followers of Jesus Christ, the best way to honor him is to imitate him. Look to Jesus, 2020 vision focus for growing in faith. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He will bring it to completion. Number five, look positively. Look positively. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So, if you don't want to grow weary and lose heart, the writer of Hebrews is saying, focus on Jesus, fix your eyes on Jesus, look to Jesus. Why? Because when we keep that kind of focus, when we're looking at Jesus, it helps us to endure difficulty. How many of you believe what I just said? It's focusing on Jesus. Here's what the prophet Isaiah said about Jesus, hundreds of years before Jesus. Yet it was our grief that he bore, our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God for his own sins. But he was wounded and bruised for our sins. He was beaten that we might have peace. He was lashed and we were healed. We, every one of us, have strayed away like sheep. We, who left God's path to follow our own, yet God laid on him, Jesus, the guilt and sins of every one of us. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he never said a word. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before shearers is dumb. He stood silent before the ones condemning him. From prison and trial, they led him away to death. But who among the people of that day realized it was their sins that he was dying for? That he was suffering their punishment? He was buried like a criminal in a rich man's grave. But he had done no wrong and had never spoken an evil word. But it was the Lord's good plan to bruise him and fill him with grief. However, when his soul had been made an offering for sin, then he shall have a multitude of children, many heirs again. He shall live again, and God's program shall prosper. What got Jesus through was seeing the positive outcome at the end, the church. Forgiveness of sins for all who would receive Christ. So I would say our 2020 vision then is to look at Jesus. Why look at Jesus? Because Jesus saw the positive outcome. For every one of us in this room, there is a positive outcome if you're a follower of Christ. Look positively in 2020. Let me close with this. Look at others, great people of faith. If your faith is weak this morning, and you know when it's weak. If your faith is weak this morning, look at others, great people of faith. In the Bible, recent history, even people around you. Because watching them will give you faith. Look at yourself. Deal with your issues. Everybody's got them. I got them. You got them. Look at yourself. Look ahead. Stop looking at the past. Look to Jesus and look positively. There is our 2020 vision for keeping our faith strong and growing in it. Everybody say amen. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we? Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, that it does just build our faith, hearing it, listening to it, reading great stories of things you have done through ordinary people, just like we who have gathered in this room and those that are hearing me, hearing my voice this morning in some other form. Lord, it builds our faith. Lord, I pray for this congregation, those that are hearing me, that this coming year would be a year of strong faith and growth in our faith so that we can accomplish great things for you. Lord, I pray for everyone that is hearing my voice this morning that may have never given their life to you. Lord, I pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, would right now speak to their heart, speak into their mind, knowing that you are at their heart's door knocking. And if they would just open up their heart to you, let you into their life, that their life could be new. Speak to them, Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning and you've never given Jesus your life, it's as simple as a prayer, but you have to mean it. It's not a formula. It's faith. Just say, Lord, I confess my sins before you. I know I have done wrong. And Lord, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I put my faith and my trust in you. Lord, would you come into my life and would you be the Lord over it? Would you run it? God, I put you on the throne of my life. I take myself off of the throne. You're in charge. The Bible says if you can say something like that to God and mean it, that you are actually a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're what the Bible calls born again, a new creation. A spiritual birth has taken place. If you've never given Jesus your life, do it today. Don't leave this place without giving Jesus your life. For those of you that do know him, let's resolve to grow in our faith, strong, strong faith in 2020. And now may the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. And may the Lord cause his face to shine upon you And may the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord turn his face toward you. And may the Lord give you peace. And everyone said together, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God.